This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, a very good morning to you. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Philip C. and joining me in the studio today is Shazana Mokhtar. Let's recap how global markets closed on Friday.
Well, we could see that the Dow and S&P 500 closed somewhat flat. The Dow was marginally up 0.03%, S&P 500 up marginally 0.01%, a far cry from that plunge we saw on Wednesday after retailers Target and Walmart reported earnings. The Nasdaq, though, was down 0.3% on Friday. And if we take a look at Asian markets and how they closed, the Nikkei was up 1.3%, Hang Seng up 3%, Shanghai Composite and Singapore's STI up 1.6%, but the FBM KLCI closed flat, marginally down by 0.02%.
A bit of respite after a week of turbulence. Joining us on the line for further analysis on where markets are heading this week, we have on the line Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer of Jevons Global. A very good morning to you, Kingsley. What a weekend for the Australian population. They have a new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, or Albo affectionately. Now, with the elections all over, done and dusted, how much will the impact result have on financial markets over the coming weeks, especially on the ASX?
Well, I think on the budget side, the policy promises from Labor were not greatly higher than those of the coalition. So the early market action will be likely in perceived winners and losers. But the more important factors for now will be obviously the offshore interest rates environment, particularly in the US, and the progress of this global bear market we're in. But the area where we think there might be improved investor confidence is possibly in the electric utilities sector, because the outgoing government had, frankly, a poor relation with that sector. And in fact, that really killed investor confidence. So I think that that's likely to happen. As folks in Malaysia are probably aware, people like Mike Cannon-Brookes are very keen to accelerate the green energy transition, if you will. And I think that with this government and a strong showing from the Greens, that's likely to be a big area of policy change. So there'll probably be some volatility in controversial areas like oil and gas investment.
And Anthony Albanese and his cabinet will be sworn in today. How are markets anticipating how the new government addresses the most pressing concern on the ground, which is the rising cost of living?
Well, they'll certainly be announcing a number of policy initiatives there. But I think, honestly, the reality is that it'll play out through market forces. Excuse me. There are wage rises in process, of course. And, Albo indicated that he would favour a significant wage rise, at least to combat inflation, particularly for the lower paid element in society. So I think we'll see that. But in all honesty, there's wage rises across the board now, and the big wage rises are occurring in skill shortage areas like tech workers. So there will be some margin pressure across the board for businesses. But we have to remember that when consumers get more money in their hands, they're better able to spend. So I think at the moment, our inflation situation in Australia is not nearly as bad as it is in the US, for example, or the UK. So we'll just have to wait and see on the politics of this. But I don't think it'll be much more than market forces. And then probably the signals meeting between business unions and others that Prime Minister Albanese has on his agenda.
And Kingsley, earlier you mentioned that some of the winners or of sectors you see will be electric utility companies, green energy transition. But who are the losers that you think come out of this election?
Well, I think the easy bit there would be to say that the oil and gas sector might be losers. But I think, frankly, that's a big export sector for Australia, particularly on the West Coast in Western Australia with companies like Woodside. And there is progress being made in various areas like carbon capture and storage that you've seen from Santos. So I think, notwithstanding the big showing from the Greens, I don't think you're going to see this sector die, as it were. I just think that there'll probably be a meeting of minds within industry as to how to phase out certain of these areas whilst having a orderly transition to phase in the new stuff. And where I'm speaking about there is really grid stability and some other factors that have come to the fore as we get higher penetration of intermittent wind energy and solar.
And now let's shift our attention to consumer demand. Early last week, we saw disappointing results by the e-commerce businesses like Amazon. But recently, also big box retailers like Target and Walmart also have reported less than stellar results. You know, what are your thoughts on the sector? Initially, we thought it was all not about clicks, but even the bricks aren't delivering, right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely the case. I mean, of course, there was a big surge of spending around COVID with the stimulus checks in places like the US. But the market share for online retail sales is actually shrinking once more. The bricks and mortar retail is still posting good results. But if you adjust for inflation, it's not a particularly big uplift anymore. So the big factor here is those reports that you mentioned from Walmart and Target. They showed something of an inventory build where, you know, they've overordered. They've basically got too much stuff in the warehouses. And that will probably lead to a wave of discounting in addition to what we've already seen from the companies themselves warning on lower profit margins. So this is an area to watch because that is one way that you can get to a recession is a so-called inventory correction when there's a big pause in new orders and that whipsaws through the economy. So we'll be watching that closely.
And if we turn our attention to Tesla, Tesla's share price seems stuck in reverse a gear after accelerating for most of the last year. So why do you see investors divesting their shares from this stock?
Look, I really think it's a function of Tesla having done so well in the past few years that now a period going sideways is probably warranted. The underlying business performance has continued to be pretty good. I mean, they are, over the years, showing that they can ramp up production and in the face of, shortages of key items like semiconductors and still deliver to their target. So I think the operating performance of this business continues to be very good. The big question here is valuation and the fact that people could see that this was a good business and therefore they've marked up the shares in the past couple of years. So I think we're just going sideways for a bit and there will be pressure on valuations across the board as we've seen in other areas of tech. So Tesla, I think it's a sideways bet for now. Maybe it becomes a buy in 2023 when we come out of whatever is ahead of us in terms of the next phase of this economic correction in the US.
So Tesla is a good business. The broader question really are vaccines a good business? You know, last year when we had a conversation with you, for sure, that was, I think, the overwhelming thought. But if you look at Moderna's share price, it's nearly dropped 42% year to date. What's your outlook on large pharma, especially those involved in vaccine production?
Yeah, look, that's really the big area right now is the large pharma. The research-driven companies that delivered us the mRNA vaccines, you know, Moderna and BioNTech, you know, obviously they posted some really good revenue and earnings through the pandemic. But now that the pandemic's fading, you'll note that the global vaccination rates, that is to say new vaccines being administered, is falling significantly now. So that's why those share prices are weak. But on the flip side, I think your point about large pharma was really an area to watch because if you take Merck and Pfizer in the United States, for example, they've actually been doing well at that time when Moderna and BioNTech have seen their share prices retreat. And I think that's really an indication that perhaps the future here lies with a resurgence in large pharma as people put more emphasis on healthcare. And these guys in particular are developing appropriate treatments for COVID, given that we don't expect it's going to disappear entirely, but it'll probably go into a regular annual, if you will, regimen of treatment, particularly for the vulnerable. And therefore, that's an opportunity for these companies.
That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, helping us understand the issues that are likely to affect Australia's economy and also a broader view on a whole myriad of issues from pharma to Tesla as well as to the retail environment.
That's right. Just on pharma, I'm curious to see whether the current monkeypox outbreak that's happening across several countries, whether this will also have an impact on pharma stocks moving forward. I mean, people are watching monkeypox to see how big a pandemic it becomes, if at all. Right now, I think about 50 to 80 cases are reported in several different countries.
Globally.
So something to watch there. And on retail, just to note that some $550 billion US dollars in market value was erased from the retail stocks after Target and Walmart's Walmart's earning report last week. So I'll be looking to see how other retail earnings do this week. We're expecting a few big names like Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Costco, Macy's. They're all having reports this week. So we'll see whether the markets react to that. Are they going to flinch or not?
Two very interesting insights with respect to retail. Many people always think that the U.S. economy is robust because demand is robust. And when you see consumer behaviors and perception and sentiment weaken substantially, I think that's a worrying sign going forward. Also, Kingsley made a very interesting point that inventory correction for these retailers could signal a recession going forward. And that was a very interesting insight I had. I thought I gathered from that conversation with Kingsley.
I think retailers have been reporting that due to weather concerns, for example, a lot of the stock that they ordered for the spring hasn't moved off the shelves because, you know, people haven't been going out as much. I do think we'll see repercussions of this on earnings reports moving forward.
The broader question, will demand remain robust in the United States? And I think this will be a lingering observation and analytics we will have to look at in the coming quarters ahead. But up next, what would an effective political funding bill incorporate? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.